Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show, produced by Ever Beyond Radio and broadcast on Wolf Spirit Radio on the first and third Sundays of the month at 7 p.m. UK time. Simon actively encourages you to join the conversation by using the Ask Question menu link at the top of the page at wowwowwow.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. Please come early to ask your questions. Now, on with the show. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, indeed, you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. Good afternoon if you're in America, good evening if you're in the UK, and good morning if you're in Australia. And here we are. It's the third one we've done this year, which seems to be just ticking by. You know, 2 weeks feels like a week. 2 weeks feels like 3 days sometimes. So, tonight's host, Simon Parkes. Good evening, Simon. How are you?
Hello, JP. And right on cue, literally as the music stops, so the Wi-Fi begins to collapse. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, you're online, yes.
Yeah, I'm online, but it was funny. Right up to the end of the intro, I had lots of strong bars on the Wi-Fi connection, all showing green. Then it went red. Now it's gone back to amber. So you may lose me. I'll just keep checking back with you to make sure I'm still on air.
Right, okay. Now, some people have... Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a lot of being hit here. Oh, there we go. So let's try and reconnect that. Yep. I'm going to be monitoring the situation. There's a lot that goes on. I've got three radio streams that are running. There is Wolf Spirit Radio. If you are on a low bandwidth, use Wolf Spirit Radio B. Now, some people say that there's a database error. If you have the problem with the database error, just leave it for about 20 minutes. The system will reload itself. But if you want to join the chat room, then go to Wolf Spirit Radio Chat chattango.com. There's a sort of, you know, you can get to the chat room offline. You can also go to everbeyondradio.com. HaggyShackRadio.com, where we're running parallel streams, so you'll be able to hear it and join in with the chat room as well. So, Simon, was that all nice and clear, or was that all crap?
Well, the amazing thing is I can hear you really well.
All right.
But
yep.
I've just got this warning sign coming up, but okay. Well, lovely to, you know, chat with you again and to speak to all the wonderful listeners, and I always remember that, of course, people hear it live and then, of course, they listen to it later on. A couple of people have asked, and you know, again, we get new people all the time, thank goodness. The signature tune, somebody did some research and worked out it was Danger Man, and they asked me, you know, did I think I was the Danger Man? And I had to explain, no, that's not why I've chosen it. I chose it because when I was growing up, my mother had insisted that I watch this serial every week with Patrick McGoohan, called The Danger Man. And she said that he was a man of integrity. He was like a MI5 British agent. He couldn't be bribed. And, you know, she said that, you know, you need to really grow up like him because he doesn't sort of cave in under pressure. And, you know, he's very upstanding. So that's why we chose the tune, because it was a guy, an actor playing secret British intelligence who, unlike James Bond, was a man of integrity. Right, so that's that. I've got quite a lot of updates, and I'd like to start basically with America and Mr. Trump. It's been a bit of misunderstanding about the situation at Standing Rock. Many people have said that Trump has basically stuck a knife in the back of the local people and has approved the oil pipeline. And I just wanted to absolutely give the facts, and then people can go and do their own research. What Trump has done is said that it's too big a decision for him and too big a decision for any one person, and he's kicked it to the courts. So both sides will have to make their case to the law courts. But what Trump has said is that he will not approve the pipeline if any part of the steel for the pipeline is made from metal elsewhere. Now, can you still hear me, JP, or have you gone off?
You're perfectly clear, Simon, and Wolf and Wall and Street Top Tour. So just speak with confidence, and I'll tell you if you go offline.
Well, you won't, because if I can't hear you, then you won't be able to tell.
That's true. I'll put my camera on.
That's why I'm checking back. So basically, at the moment, there is no fabrication process in the States to make pipelines. All this steel for pipelines is brought in from elsewhere. So someone has got to set up a factory in the United States to build pipeline. That's not really going to happen very quickly, is it? So it's a very clever move to kick the situation into the long grass, and basically the courts will have to decide it. So that's the fact. That's the situation there is. The big news is Antarctica. And that does play into to Trump at the moment. The plan that Donald Trump has is to reinvigorate the United States, to make it the number one country again. But it would take between 7 years and 10 years, that's the estimate, to put America back in the driving position. He doesn't have that length of time, and he has set a plan to do all of that in 18 months. And the only way he can do that in 18 months is to release alien technology. But they're not calling it alien technology. It's known as exotic technology. That's what it's called in the intelligence services. And he wants to release some of this hidden technology to the corporations so that they can get going very quickly on driving America forward. And the reason that he feels he's in a position to do that is because, as people will know, there's been a lot of activity in Antarctica, both before the Christmas holidays and continuing now. There's going to be a release of it's very ancient technology, but it's very new because the concept of that technology has not been appreciated on the planet. That is going to be released to the American government very soon. That means that the exotic technologies that the Americans already hold, in comparison, will be outdated. It is those technologies that they're going to give to their friends in corporate America to start the process of making the states successful again. Running up to the Christmas holiday, we had the Pope visit Antarctica. We had Buzz Aldrin. We had the vice president from the old administration, all attempting to try and come to an arrangement, a deal. And, of course, we have a new president in at the moment. So that's what we should expect to see. There'll be no fanfare. There'll be no unveiling of modern technologies. All will happen is suddenly we will be told, we've done this, we've built this. And we'll be thinking, well, hang on, that could have taken 3 years to do that. How come you've done it in 6 weeks? So that will be what's happening. The point about Antarctica is that there are more than one race. There is more than one race based down there. Some of them are particularly unhelpful, very, very hostile, and others of them are broadly sympathetic. This is to the human cause. So it wasn't just simply going around sitting around a table. There were a number of these meetings that had to occur. But there was one meeting, to my knowledge, where everybody, regardless of their position in terms of whether they were friend or foe, actually attended that meeting. So there was one meeting where everyone sat around the table. And that's where this has come from. So that's quite exciting. I always like it when the mainstream media start to say what we're saying. We know we're getting it right. when the mainstream are being forced into a position where they have to start telling the truth. And in Great Britain, and it always seems to be Great Britain, I don't know why the states aren't doing this, but again, the Mail, the Daily Mail, is a British newspaper. It's an establishment, one of the top newspapers, top in terms of numbers, not in terms of quality. And the Mail has, like everything else, has an electronic version and a paper version. So what these guys do is they run their difficult stories in the electronic version, but they don't cover it in the paper version. Now, if people can go and have a look at the electronic version of the Mail, they will actually see that the article on there says, and I've actually copied the headline down, tech, short for technology, tech billionaires are building bolt holes in New Zealand. What do they know that we don't? And then it goes on to name some people who are fabulously wealthy on the planet who are getting ready to disappear. Now, one name that people may know is Peter Thiel, or Thiel, depending how you want to pronounce his name. He was one of the key founders of PayPal. And in the very early days of Facebook, he put a lot of money into that. Now, he's incredibly wealthy. And he actually supported Donald Trump during the presidential election because the Clintons had turned against him. So he thought, well, I can't let the Clintons get in because they'll come for me. So I'll support Mr. Trump. Now, what Peter Thiel has done is he's bought 477 acres of land or real estate in New Zealand. This is where the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit films were. So it's near that area. And he's sort of preparing a nice sort of getaway. What's interesting about him is that when you apply to live in New Zealand, as he's done, you normally have to be resident in the country for 3 years, and then you can get a passport and become a citizen. Well, the New Zealand government have waived that and just given him a passport and made him a joint nationality. He's now a New Zealand citizen. There's been a lot of annoyance from local people who've said, well, hang on, you know, my sister had to wait 3 years to come in. How come this man has just got in? It's because he's fabulously wealthy. It's very much like billionaires who've been investing in Bitcoin. There will be a time when countries just want these people living in their borders. If there's an individual who's got huge amounts of money in electronic Bitcoin, which will not devalue in the same way that currency will, then countries are fighting now over trying to entice these people to come and live in their borders. And that's taking place as well. Another person who's bought land in New Zealand is none other than that in-your-face man, James Cameron, who made the Avatar, directed the Avatar films, and, of course, the Terminator films. And time again in the Terminator films, you know, we are given in plain sight warnings or alerts to what is to come. So James Cameron has done that. In the last year, something like 1,400 square miles of real estate, land, have been sold to Americans or Australians. And that's four times more than last year, the year before. So what that means is that there's a flight to these places because they think that they're incredibly safe. The newspaper says these people are running because, you know, there'll be a nuclear war or this, that and the other. But the point is, when you read into the article itself, what these people are actually saying is there's going to be an economic crash. Some of these people, there's a guy called Steve Huffman, who created the Reddit site, and he went and had very, very expensive laser eye surgery because he didn't want to be left in a world where he was vulnerable. Literally, he didn't want to have glasses in case there was a breakdown in law and order, or there wasn't, you know, the possibility of buying glasses for your eyes anymore. And that's what he did. Another guy, Marvin, it's not unusual for Americans to hoard up guns, but he's took archery lessons because he wanted to be able to hunt animals silently without, you know, alerting people to the gun shop. Because again, he feels that there is a breakdown of law and order coming. You know, so it, this is incredibly widespread. And just finally on this one, a guy called Reed Hoffman, who was a venture capitalist, and was interviewed by the New Yorker magazine. And they're asking him about, you know, this sort of preparing for the worst. And I'm going to paraphrase it now because I'm not going to read it out. But basically he said, look, once you get into the meeting, you do the Masonic handshake, the Freemason special handshake. Once you've done that, then the person says, look, are you interested? I've got some old missile bunkers that we've turned into luxury apartments, which are bomb-proof. It's got all its own electricity, water, heating. You'd be all right there for a couple of years. Do you want that? So the incredibly wealthy are en masse now providing themselves with secure accommodation for them and their families. Now, whilst that's not a new thing, what is new is the amount of people now. Nearly everybody is thinking about it or has done it who's got huge amounts of money. So it doesn't mean the world is going to end, but what it means is that these people are being advised by their bankers or, you know, whoever is their manager, and saying you need to make provision because we think that there's a serious situation occurring. And it's the same old story, isn't it, that the ordinary man and woman on the street hasn't a clue. They go about their daily lives. They're worried about their cup of coffee. What's the football game tonight? You know, will they get home on time from work? And, you know, at the other end of the spectrum, the guy's sort of saying, okay, well, we're going to need this, this and this, and we're going to stock up with food. It's always been this way, that the elite have access to the information and everyone else doesn't. So that's why, you know, it's important that, you know, people can try and give the truth so that others can make their own decisions. And so moving on from that, I can only do what I do and JP can only do what he does because people very kindly donate. And donating keeps us not just going, it keeps us independent. So it's that time of the show again where I'm going to thank Ada, Joachim, Serge, Arthur, Mary, Alexander, Jeff, Kevin, Natalie, Bruno, Claudia, Ken, Simone, Holy Ground. That's a good one, isn't it? Stanley, that was a really nice donation. That was quite big, and thank you. Alexandra, yours was as well. And Mikhail. But I have to thank Jennifer, Jennifer made quite a big donation. And that was wonderful because it paid off my phone bill, my cell phone bill, and put gas in the tank, petrol in the car, and you know it helped me out. So, you know, to everybody who donates, you are keeping me going, but you're keeping the battle going. You're actually keeping the fact that people can actually stand up to the system and say, look, we're not going to break the law. That's not what we're after. What we want to do is to actually get the truth out there and let people make the choice and make the decision, and we won't be shut up. And, you know, they're not going to put a bullet in my head, but they will try and crush me economically. So those people who donate to me, you know, you are keeping me going, and you know, I'm incredibly grateful. So that's the roundup of the news. It's quiet at the moment because, you know, we're going to be looking at March. I've always said March, January, February, March. I think we're going to be some interesting things happening in March. We've got an election in Holland, I think, where the far right party may well win. If Kurt Wilders wins, then he wants his country out of the European Union. We've got potential vote coming in Italy. We've got an interesting vote potentially coming in France and in Greece. So if one of those countries was to elect somebody who wanted to follow the Brit exit, it is the death of the European Union. And Mr. Trump's own European ambassador, who he appointed recently, said, why would I want to talk to the European Union? I don't think it'll be around in 12 months' time. So even the ambassador from the American government to the European Union is telling the European Union, you probably won't be here in a year's time. And he's a professor, actually. And he was saying, look, I'll probably be doing deals with country on country, not on group on group. And then he was asked in an interview about the euro, the currency of the European Union. And he basically said, you know, wouldn't give it much chance at all. So it's the same old story. The news is out there, but so many people either blinkered or hoodwinked or are fearful of doing anything outside of their normal little routine. They're not doing themselves any favors because they're not finding out the truth. And it's these people that are going to have a shock when the changes come. So, okay, that's it, I think, JP. As long as I'm still on air, let's go for some questions.
Still wall to wall there, Simon. Hang on. What's happening here? All right, how come I can't hear myself? Hello. Okay. Bizarre. All right, there we go. So I knocked a couple of the level faders when I was adjusting my system before. So, here we are. Let's have a look. Our first question today comes from Cherant, C-H-E-R-A-N-T. I think that's how you pronounce it. A short question. When I talk or discuss to myself aloud, alone, I get these chills on my body that even goosebumps come up on my physical body. Is this phenomenon normal or is it something going on that I'm not aware of?
Well, there are several possibilities. One possibility is that you're talking to yourself and you suddenly realize it and you think that's not good. In Great Britain, we have a saying which is talking to yourself is the first sign of madness. So that's a 3D answer. The other possibility is that there is a connection that you have and off either off planet or to another dimension. And when we're in this reality, if we are trying to access that communication, we would tend to speak out loud because we are 3D creatures, flesh and blood in a biological body. And we forget that we are far more telepathic than we know. And so we will verbalize, we will use our voice box. And it's only with training that you can actually stop that and just use your mind. So, you know, there are lots of possibilities and we sort of had joked about the first one. But if there was something very, very telepathic going on, then it's not impossible that you are relaying information or you are holding a conversation with something, but instead of using your mind, you are using your voice box. You see, when the greys, when the greys communicate, if you imagine dropping a pebble into a pond and the ripples going out, that's what a grey does. They're not very good at focusing. So if there were six people in a room, the greys find it very difficult just to send their thoughts to that one individual. It tends to be everyone gets hit with the same thought. Other beings are able to just send the message through like a pencil beam so that it just goes to the individual concerned. That's not to say all greys have that problem, but many of them do. Now, when you're a human in a human body, then you spend 99% of your time, I guess, depending on who we are, on this planet using the voice box. So when we go into that world or we wish to access that world, then it's unfortunately it's difficult to switch back and we'll just talk. So, you know, without more information, I couldn't give you a better answer, I'm afraid.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, from Christian92 Romania. Hello, Simon. Hello, JP. Simon, I know you've said you do not believe in the biblical God and that you believe in the source that created everything that there is. Could you perhaps explain then how praying works? Does source hear our prayers? Why do most prayers go unanswered? And does praying even work? Thank you.
That's a good question. That's a really, really good question.
Yeah.
Because it allows me to explain the trickery that's going on and has gone on for thousands of years. Right. In the Western world, to my knowledge, which people are taught to bow their head, put their hands together and pray. And if you're in a church, you have to get down on your knees. And the church is very, very thoughtful. They provide you usually with cushions so that when you kneel down, your knees don't get hurt or cold on the church floor. It's very kind of them to provide cushions. What God wants the creatures that it made to get on its knees and beg for it. The only God that would do that is a God that created people to serve him. And Source did not create people to serve it. It created people to contain souls and to go and experience and learn. And then it would take pleasure, if that is the right word, from watching its creations develop. And there's no right and wrong. You just go out and you do it. So if you are taught by a society to get on your knees, put your hands together and say, please forgive me because I did a very bad thing today. That's not developing our soul. That's not developing our consciousness. That is subserviating ourselves to something we don't even see. So what happens is basically lots of people, in my view, I've got to say that, lots of people go to church, get down on their knees, they pray, and that energy is focused through and taken off somewhere. You know, that's why places of mass murder generally were circular. Think about ancient Rome, the Circus Maximus, the gladiatorial combats, and the Hippodrome, which wasn't circular, but that was oval, but it was still a circle that joined. And the entities would just hang about 100,000 people and soak up the energy. So I don't believe in a God as a person. I do not believe God would ever treat people on this planet the way it does. But I believe in a source that creates and says, right, you've got life. It's the greatest gift anyone can have. Go out and use it. And how you use it is up to you. So, nope, don't accept the God of the Bible, but do believe in a consciousness that permeates everyone and everything.
Dear Simon and JP, your radio show is simply the best thing out there. It says it.
Hurrah!
There's nothing quite like it. Nothing else quite like it. Carry on the great work. All right, so here's the question. Let's see how good the question is. I've read that after each life... After each life, we have a life review session where a small group of elders discuss with us what we've learned in the life just lived. I've also read that we can see future snippets of our next life before we're born into it, and that there are study sessions we can attend before choosing to reincarnate. Do you have any comments on this information? Does this only apply if we return to source or not? Love and light.
Right.
Destiny calls.
Well, first of all, destiny calls. It's very kind of you to say those wonderful things about the radio show. I'm sure they're not accurate. I'm sure we're not the best thing, but we're going to try and be the best thing. Thank you.
We're as good as it gets.
Okay, JP. the question has got a lot of truth there. The problem is it's a little bit mixed up, and that's because I genuinely think that people who are pushing out the information just generally aren't quite clear. I don't think there's anything deliberate here. All right. Let's start it backwards. If you are from a higher dimension and you're human, not exclusively, but usually, and you look at the planet, and you remember you can look down the dimensions. It's very hard to look up, but you can look down and you can feel the energy. And you look down on Earth and you'd say, for goodness sake, what's going on down on that planet? Don't those people know what's been done to them? And you just feel so cross that you think, I've got to do something about this. So you go to your government, whatever that may be, and you say, listen, I want to go down on that planet because they need some help. And the government turns around and says, look, we've got a no intervention policy. We're not going to officially sanction you, but if you wish to volunteer, then you can do so. Now, only a fool, actually, or someone incredibly brave, would go from the higher dimensions straight down to Earth. What you normally do is you stop off somewhere, and this is where the support comes from. You stop off somewhere to get some advice. Because if you're coming from a place that doesn't use money, that probably eradicated internal wars a huge time ago, doesn't have greed, and doesn't actually have the problems we have, to incarnate on this planet without some form of training is a disaster. And I have met people who've done that, and they have a very difficult life here. So it's usually the jolly old Palladians who host training sessions, training courses, because they are the most aggressive, in defense humans that you can meet generally. And so it's not uncommon for Lyrans, particularly to stop off at the Pleiades and get some, well-needed assistance. And that's where a group of elders can sit round and say, well, what do you feel you need to do? Okay, this is the situation. That's not actually what the question's asking, but that's most commonly what happens. If you break through the net that surrounds the Earth, and it's more possible now because of the holes that have appeared, then you will return to source. I suppose you could go and find some elders, but generally source would be quite enough for you, I think. If you incarnate and come back, there is a group of advisors who are not physically bodied that you can call on. Some people call them angels, others call them guides, spirit guides, and the North American Indians in particular accessed this group of elementals very early on, who were connected to the Earth and didn't leave the Earth. And so it was possible to, if you could break through the veneer between this reality and the same reality of the Earth, but at another vibrational rate, you could connect with the spirit guides. And it is these who will advise and support you. But generally speaking, I'm always wary because the control system is still in place, sadly, and you will get people come to you who say, I am such and such and I've come to advise you. And of course they're not. And they're just another part of the deception program. So the questioner has got a lot of truth, but what I'm trying to do is to say, be very discerning on any sort of assistance you might get, because it might not be the assistance you want. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, the hard question here. Hello, Simon. There is so much evidence out there that Pizzagate is real. What are your thoughts on it?
Right. When the truth about the evil that has pervaded the super rich, the multi-corporations, is made known, there will be a lot of people who consider themselves quite hardened and tough who will just cry, because to believe that so many people in politics, in agencies that are supposed to protect us, that in corporations that should just be making money and not get involved in anything else, should be part of a worldwide child trafficking program I will not say it's too evil to contemplate, because you've got to face things. You've got to face them up. You have to contemplate it. You have to look at something to understand it. You know, if I, for instance, and I don't, but if I had a cruise liner, shall we say, and I had 6 or 7 big cruise ships, I have the means to travel from one country to the next. And the only time I sort of check borders is when my boats land. Well, what an interesting company for moving children and prostitution that might be. Or I might have an airline, or I might have something else. So what we do is we look, when we want to out these people, we look at a mechanism that allows these people to do the evil they do. For instance, let's say an evil person, what will an evil person do? They won't go outside with a big placard saying, I'm a paedophile. What they'll do is they might start a fund, a charity, a foundation to save homeless children. And so on the face of it, what they're doing is they're getting kids off the street. But in reality, what they're doing is feeding this worldwide network of paedophilia. The satanic organizations are hugely involved in that. They have infiltrated a wide range of organizations and companies throughout the Western world. And in terms of the Pizzagate, of course, there's the very interesting evidence is literally some of the terminology that these evil men use when having one of their secret conversations. And, you know, there's a particular shop that's associated with this case, and the name of the shop is, you know, the name of one of the code words that these people use. So when the questioner is saying there's a lot of evidence out there, oh boy, there is a lot of evidence out there. But I don't want people to get focused on that, because that's actually what's just been exposed. There is so much yet that needs to be exposed. That is, I'm not saying it's the tip of the iceberg, but there's a lot more there. And the key for me is that how endemic it is, and how widespread and how deep rooted it is. And that's the shock, that these evil, horrible people have been able to hoodwink the vast majority of the public, while carrying on the evil things that they do. But that's the trick, isn't the term, isn't it? Hidden in plain sight. That is exactly what's been going on. But as human consciousness changes, and, you know, I was just chatting to someone the other day, and we were looking at the Schumann resonance. And when I talk to people, I always say, look, I've lost track of the resonance of it now. Go check it. Because, you know, you look at some of the old stuff on YouTube, it talks about the Schumann resonance as 7 point something or other. Well, now I think it's been tracked at about 36. You know, now that's accurate, and it may well be accurate. That's why the evil people are losing control, because the Schumann resonance is the driving force of the spiritual connection with humanity. And if humans are operating at 36 rather than 7, then it means that the evil people, in order to keep the trick, have got to operate higher. But they can't. These evil people are incapable of operating at high levels, because when you're eaten up with all that evil, they can't do it. So that's why stuff's coming out, because they are failing to put a blanket over it, because human consciousness is now seeing what literally 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, we wouldn't have seen. And that's the evidence. That's what we need to be proud of, that the humans are waking up. Yes, it's too slow. We need it faster, but it's happening. And so things that the evil people dreamt would never reach the ears of the ordinary public are coming through. So I don't want to end on a down note with that. I want to end on a positive note, that these people's days are numbered. And maybe, although I'm not saying anyone that I read out is a bad person, but, you know, maybe a lot of people who've made their pile are trying to hide. Maybe it isn't that they're worried that, oh my God, the economy is going to collapse. Maybe it's, ooh, I'm going to be found out. Where can I go where I can't be got? Now, as I say, I'm sure that the names I read out, people haven't got anything to do with that, but there will be people who are superbly rich and have got a lot of things to worry about. So it's a really good question, and I hope that answer helps.
Thanks very much. Where has it gone? I'm not asking you. I've got the I've covered up the window.
Well, I'll just have a look. Oh, it's just there for you on your left hand side.
I got this mouse that that wanders across three screens, and it doesn't know sometimes where it is. Okay, so here's a question from Richard. What are the different Illuminati groups? You've mentioned the Satanic Illuminati, and I've also heard of the Gnostic Illuminati. Can you explain the groups? What Illuminati means, and what are the goals of each group? Now, supplemental question: Trump, is he Illuminati, Freemason, or a part of any kind of secret society? Thank you very kindly. So, right, Illuminati, what does it mean? Who are they?
Do that last. Right. We're just sort of attacked God now, but we'll just talk about Jesus. Jesus of the Bible, for those who don't read the Bible, I'll just remind you that according to the Bible, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in a stable. And three kings, three wise men came to visit him. And the story goes that there was a star and a star shone over the stable and they were led to it. As far as I'm concerned, it was a spacecraft and it was just shining a light for these three guys to follow. They'd all had visions planted in their head. They had to pack up their camels, and that's quite serious. They had to pack their camel up with food and provisions. And they each one of the three had the same dream as they saw it, and they all met up and they all went off. The term for that is magi. And when we go to the situation predominantly after Roswell, the American elite and the magical fraternity decided they needed to form a group, and we call it the Majestic 12, the Majestic Numbers. That's much more than that now. And what we have is a group of people who were seen as illuminated beyond ordinary people. And they were illuminated with knowledge, but they were also illuminated because they were expected to take knowledge. There's always been, ever since two men got together, hierarchy. Someone's always thought they were better than someone else. You know, I'll form a club. My club's more upmarket than your club. And so it's not surprising that in human structures, organizations that have set themselves up have set themselves up to be more elitist than one next to them. So when you mix magic, real magic, not pulling rabbits out of hats, when you mix magic with huge amounts of money-making potential, with politics, with the defense of your country, the military, you are creating a group of people who wield more power than a president. And we've seen that time and time again. So with these group of people, you tend to be invited into a branch of the illuminated organization. Now, if you come from a family background where magic, even if you're not magical yourself in your own mind, if you've come from that, then you will be invited into an arm that will do that. If you've come from a military background, you'll go there. If, for instance, the soul in your body is a particular soul that's done something in past life, then they would try to fit that into an aspect of their organization that would mean that would bring them power. For instance, Mensa, the world organization that measures how intelligent you are, you know, people see it as a bit of a thing, you know, or I've got brain power of, you know, 120 or 130 or whatever, 140. Mensa's role, as far as I'm concerned, is to identify super intelligent people and pass their details on. If you are wishing to recruit the most intelligent people on the planet in terms of academic or potential, then you need an independent organization to identify and bring them in. So, you know, most of the people that I've met who we would call Illuminati have the most incredible high IQ and are all very proud of it and all know what their IQ is. They've all done Mensa testing. Now, that is suggestive in itself. So the Gnostics are an arm of the Illuminati, but they are seen as a branch. They're seen separate. They're seen by the corporate side as the wishy-washy, magical, tell me tomorrow type group, whereas the Gnostics look at the corporates as the greedy, hungry crocodiles in the river. So they are very distrustful of each other, but they all work within that. So you have a magical group, and the magical group will divide until you go down to the end where it's terribly satanic. You have a military group and a political group. So, for instance, you know, if you're a politician and you're invited to join the Illuminati, they will put you in a group with other politicians. You know, that's how it's done. All the military guys are with the military guys, the politicians and so on and so forth. It's incredibly well organized, and so it should be for the amount of money they've got. And their whole object is to expand and to take control of just about any organization that could be of help to them. And people don't realize it. Even a local bus company, there will be people in there, because almost every walk of life has someone from those organizations there, because they never quite know when they would need that sort of organization. Now, what was the final part, JP? There was a supplementary, wasn't there?
Mr. Trump.
Right. No, he's not. Had he been, then they wouldn't have cared a damn whether Hillary Clinton had won or he'd won. But because he's not part of their group, their phonies in the news media were told to go out and get him, because we don't want somebody that we can't control. If you look at Great Britain, you know, we've talked about America, let's talk about Great Britain. It's only fair, isn't it? Great Britain, we had a run some 20 odd years ago of conservative prime ministers. We had Margaret Thatcher, we had John Major, and then they were beaten by a man called Tony Blair. And Tony Blair was the member of the Labour Party, and he was left of centre. So, and everybody wanted him. The media, the banks, everybody wanted Tony Blair. And you'd think, well, why would corporate organisations who only exist to make profit, why would they want a socialist prime minister? Doesn't make sense, because socialist prime ministers generally tax the big corporates far heavier than a right-wing party. So it didn't matter, you see, to them whether Tony Blair won the general election in Great Britain or a Conservative, because they'd get their man in either way. Now, the problem for them with the Labour Party at the moment is the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, is not a member of the Illuminati. And that is why the media, particularly the BBC, have been told to attack him at every moment. They're absolutely furious that a major political party which could win power has a leader that they don't control. So you always know when somebody is in with the gang, because they get wonderful press coverage. They get free news printing. You know, if my news printing, if everything they wrote about me was glowing and wonderful, then, you know, people would quite rightly say, well, he's obviously part of the organization. But I went through a baptism of fire in the early days with the news people. And in a way, it proved that I was actually saying things that the establishment were terrified of and didn't like. So no, he's not. He does have people around him who are. But I guess that if you are sitting in, and he calls it a swamp, but if you're sitting in a pit full of snakes and you don't speak snake language, you are going to need people to speak snake language on your behalf. Maybe it won't always be like that, but I do understand that at the moment he needs people around him who are credible in this ultra powerful, network that he doesn't actually have access to. And because he's a billionaire, he could survive without having to be invited to these organizations. Oh, I bet you they've invited him several times. And I guess he will know people, but he's not part of their game. If he was, he wouldn't be a friend of President Putin. Remember, President Putin physically threw the Rothschild Bank out of Russia. So, you know, that's the truth of the matter. It's not to say that, you know, in 5 years' time or whatever, but at the moment, no, the guy is very independent. It's a good question.
Yes, indeed. Whenever I think of Trump, I get this really strange feeling of like, wow, relief, and like, somebody's come along here who's a human and he's come to deal with stuff. But the sense is that he's like, is he some kind of Templar knight or one of those more esoteric groups?
Well,
because you don't get anywhere in the business world if you're not a Mason, are you?
Well, right. The thing is that he is still a member of a political party. He is a Republican, which means that he got through into that because of his money making capabilities. He saw things that really upset him. I mean, it's not widely known that one of his children was badly affected by an inoculation, and because he had plenty of money, he could get doctors to have a look and see what caused this difficulty for one of his children. And he came to the conclusion that the contents of the inoculation were not very good for humanity. Now, this isn't widely known, and you won't find this anywhere on the internet, I don't suppose, but the major reason that Donald Trump ran for president was because he wanted to avenge what had occurred to one of his children and take out the big pharmaceutical companies. That is why within 1 week, 1 week and 2 days, I think, of taking office, a particular agency that runs a lot of the testing work for a big pharmaceutical in the United States was raided by federal authorities and their computer equipment seized. Now, if the information on the computers shows that somebody knowingly or willingly was putting harmful contents into vaccinations, that will become public, I guess, and that will be very interesting. So, no, this is the problem. The truth doesn't come out there. Trump is driven by something which the media, the control system, can't get their hands on. They can't understand it. I've never said to people, vote for Trump. I've never said he's a good man, etc., etc. What I've said was, he's the right man at the right moment. He's exactly a President Putin. Do we honestly think it's chance that we have these key people in the most powerful countries of the world when there are evil people beneath them attempting to create a third world war and literally wipe the whole planet out, kill all of us off in a nuclear conflagration? Yet we have two people now in key positions who do not want that. That, as far as I'm concerned, is because source has made that happen. Doesn't mean that Trump isn't going to pass domestic laws in America, which some people think are bad, because he's a politician. You know, he is a member of the Republican Party as a president. He is going to pass laws, which some people like and some people don't like. But I look at it as the global situation and what drives the man. And so when you begin to understand a little bit about his background and his life, then you understand what his game is. He has surrounded himself with over 200 generals and admirals and high-ranking Air Force people because he doesn't trust the politicians. He doesn't trust the White House. He doesn't trust Capitol Hill. And we have in America a military government. It's not official, but that's what we've got, and a military government, because the politicians were going to take the United States of America and flush it down the toilet. And he wasn't going to have that. So it's going to be a very interesting few months ahead. Good question. Thank you.
Do you know anything about Trump's past lives? Like, who was has he got a kind of record for doing stuff like this?
I'm going to pass on that one, not because I don't know. I've got some knowledge on it. But I think I would be happy to answer that in about 3 months' time.
Good. Okay. Somebody will remember it and ask the question in the chat room again.
Okay.
Dear Simon, this is Tess. Thank you for your constant efforts to make this world a better place. I have a heartfelt respect for you and deep affection. Thank you too, JB, for your sacrifices to awaken us all. You guys are inspiring. Keep up the great work. My question deals with the Gnostic scriptures like the Nag Hammadi Library and the Dead Sea Scrolls. Are these writings more accurate than the Bible in telling the beginnings of humans as we are today? Are these stories the ones that are taught to Illuminati children? Is, like the scriptures state, the Archon Yaldabaoth the ruler of this world, and is this creature Anunnaki or reptilian? Can you shed light on these stories? Thank you in advance for your knowledge.
Oh, thank you very much for your very kind words. And thank you for listening to the show. Yes, you are absolutely, I smiled when JP read that bit out. Yes, that is read to all Illuminati children. That's what I was taught, that the Gnostics, teachings, the Gnostic scripts, the Dead Sea Scrolls are, you know, you'd have that in your house, or a translation of, as you would The Lord of the Rings by J.R. Tolkien. It does actually talk about the man Jesus living by the sea in a very simple community. What we have is a situation where people have wished to use any method to control humanity. And you can create the club, which they call the church. You need a female and a male, got Jesus and Mary. And then you can spin a yarn, which is just absolute nonsense. It's all part of bringing people into the church. And, you know, you count your success by how many people are in your church. I mean, that's how they do it, isn't it? It's no different from a radio station or a television station. How many viewers have you got? How many listeners have you got? And that's, you know, never mind the quality of it. It's how many do you pull in? So, you know, what the TV stations do is they make them more and more outrageous and more stupid and more crazy so that more and more people watch it. The content is absolute filth. It's just brain dead. People falling over to make fools of themselves on television, and it brings people in. And so that's what the church is. It's actually who has got the most congregation. Oh, you must be very successful because you've got all these people. Or who's raised enough money for a new church roof? A new church roof. Do you know, when I was a boy, I used to go to school on the number 36 bus, and I used to pass a church, and it had one of those things outside, like a thermometer. It said, and the top said, church, new church roof. And the top was like, I don't know, 50,000. That was a lot back in 1970s. 50,000, and the bottom was zero. And it never moved. It was at about 5,000. And I was at school from, I don't know, 1971 to 1975. And the damn thing never moved. Didn't matter how hot summer was, this thermometer never moved up. And truthfully, actually, when how cold it was, the thermometer didn't drop. But it was always 5,000. I thought, well, where's all the money going? And didn't anybody who walked into that church think, I've been coming to this church for 20 years, and that thermometer's, you know, not moved, and we've not got a new roof. So, you know, come on. I mean, where does that money go? We think we can guess where it goes. So that's how things work like that. But yes, it is, as far as I'm concerned, that's why, the Orthodox in Israel deliberately tried to hide the Dead Sea Scrolls. And in fact, there are a number of them that were not given over for translation that are still hidden, because it talks about the Archons, which, this very knowledgeable community of Jews, the Gnostics, were aware of, that this archonic attack, which was to take over the whole of the human race. There was hybridization, part human, part reptilian. And of course, the church and the elite didn't want that out. So what they released for translation was only a small amount. But it is, as far as I'm concerned, it's truthful. And yes, I was taught that when I was a young boy. It's a really good question. Thank you.
Interesting. So,
tea time.
Time for the put the kettle on. All over the world, the power goes on. So, let's have, I've been trying to find a good tune. Let's have The Cure. This is an old song, Fascination Street.
Okay.
Let's take you down for a, all right. And welcome back. That song has about a 30-second blank bit at the end. I don't, sorry about that. Anyway, so welcome back to Connecting Consciousness with your host, Simon Parks. Here you are again.
I am again.
Any thoughts over the break? Any
thoughts?
Any thoughts come to your mind? Right? No thinking.
I'm in my question answer mode, I don't think like that. I just wait for the questions to come in.
Okay. So the next question is a first time listener, and they didn't quite know how to do it. So it's coming this way. Hydrons visited me via sleep paralysis. Since then, I feel like I can't sit still. And there's like a turbulent storm in my body and my mind. Can you help that at all?
Well, it's nice that we've got a new person. That's really important. That's what it's about. It's about keeping hold of the people we've got, and it's reaching out. So welcome. Hope you're listening. The difficulty I have is the name you've given to this particular entity, whether that is a name that they gave you, whether that's what they look like to you and you've given the name, or whether you've found a picture on the internet and you think that looks a little bit like what they were. So I can't answer that because I haven't got a description of what you've seen, and a name doesn't help me. Now, if we say the Greys came to visit me, we all know immediately what that is, although I would then say, okay, let's see what sort of Grey came to visit you. But when you talk about hydrons?
Hydrons. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you see, when we think about that, we think about Hydra. We think of Jason and the Argo. We're thinking of Hydra as in snakes.
I think he's also referring, sorry to interrupt, Simon.
Right.
Tolek has spoken of Draco and Hydra reptilians.
Oh, Hydra, as in water. Right.
Maybe not necessarily Hydro, but from the Hydra system.
No, but when you pronounce it, it's like Hydra. So it would be like hydrogen. So maybe, that's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, now I'm understanding a bit better now. Yeah. Nevertheless, I always like people to describe what they've seen rather than give me a name, because often people have a name for something which actually isn't quite right. What's more concerning is the person has still got this physical experience, and it sounds to me potentially as if they've connected to you, and it may be that they have a channel to you, or they have partially come through and are in your energy field. Because when we have an experience, what we normally would have is 2 to 3 days where you feel a bit disassociated, and then your body comes back into balance. But if it's like going on for a long time, that's because whatever it is still with you. So the good news is that I'm passing now numbers of people who have contacted me on the email address through to be booked in. Hurrah, hurrah. So you should now start to get some connection booking appointments in. And I would say to this person, you might wish to consider sending an email off for an appointment, because you really shouldn't be feeling this type of physical manifestation so long after the event. So I won't say anything more in case the person does actually want to connect with me, and I'd rather speak to them on a one-to-one basis. But yeah, sorry for the misunderstanding in terms of the entity.
It's saying, Opu, Simon is right. How does he know? So there you go.
Pardon?
The question is saying, oh shit, Simon is right. How does he know? So there you go.
I don't understand that.
I'm seeing him in the chat room.
Oh, I see. I got you. Yeah. Right. Okay.
And he's saying that you're spot on. So.
Well, that's nice. And it's nice that he was able to say that. Thank you. Look, I've got a wide experience of a very great number of strange things, built up over many lifetimes, and by, you know, connections that I have ongoing, which means that I can generally, I'm not infallible, but I can generally think, oh yeah, I've seen that, or oh yeah, that happened. Oh yeah, I know about that. God, that was a long time ago, but that's what happened then. So I've usually got a framework that I can hook back on and say, yeah, I know all about that. Sometimes, of course, I don't know about it, but then I've always said, if I don't know, I've always, and on the radio show, if I do get the odd question, I'll say to people, I'm sorry, I don't know. So it's nice when someone actually says, yeah, you're spot on, because that's the sort of encouragement I need, really, because doing a radio show is very lonely. You know, you guys ask questions or you give me your stories, which are fascinating. I reply, but I don't get any, there's no feedback from it. I just give you an answer and I think, well, I've done my best. I really hope that's helpful. So, you know, through the chat room, that's really cool. So thanks very much.
I think it would be nice if people sent you testimonies. If they've had a good, if you've had, I'm going to do it on your behalf, Simon. If you've had a good session with Simon, or indeed a good session with me or any of the other hosts on Wolf Spirit Radio, do send, an update. How did it go? What happened afterwards? Because we're usually in the place of, people in the transition. And often people fall straight on their feet afterwards and get on so well that they forget about, oh, I forgot that they told us this. So there's a nice thing, a nice closure to the feedback. Meanwhile, Grace. Several years ago, I would experience dark figures near me and my health and personal life went crazy. Although I have managed to get both back on track, I'm someone now experiencing people standing beside me that are not actually there. I'm also seeing lighter coloured flashes of beings or things. Some small, some are not. Could you comment on why this is happening?
No, I can't, because I don't know what's going on in your life. But what you've described to me is fairly accurate. The flashes of light are when something from another dimension enters this one, or just skirts it. You know, when you skim a stone across a flat pond, it just touches the top of the water and then it shoots up again and it drops down, skims the water. And sometimes when an entity is coming into this reality, it will just skim the surface. It will skim it, have a little look, come out again, so we don't see it, and it'll skim down, and we'll see it, and it'll go out. So that's very common. But they don't actually physically move, they stay in the same place. the shadow beings, yeah, that's the old interesting one. That's the shadow beings that they're not there, but they are there. If you're not hallucinating and you're not mad, then they are there. But you're not seeing them with your eyes generally. You're seeing them with your psychic third eye, feeling them. And you can see the shape, the human outline. But we must always remember that the military, the major world's military also have that capability. They're not shadow beings, but they can project a military individual through. So, but let's just assume that this is entities. And your health has been affected. That's classic, because the energy frequency of your body has been disrupted. And, you know, you can go through a whole thing of not losing your job or losing your partner or losing your friends. You can't decide what clothes you're going to wear, whether you want to go out. You feel you don't trust yourself anymore. You don't trust anyone else. All of these things, very similar. People who have a jinn, a demonic possession, or are visited by shadow beings who have an intent to harm, that is the real physical and mental feeling that a person will go through. But I said I can't answer your question because I don't know what's going on in your life. These things come to you at certain times in your life, either because it was ordained to be so, or because you have suddenly started doing something, which in human terms is actually probably waking up. You've started questioning, understanding, learning, meditating, being more spiritual. And if you are a very powerful soul, then these entities are frightened of you. And that's something I do wish to say to people, you know, that many of these entities are frightened of you. And when you become aware of who you are and what you're capable of, these things don't like it. So it might be that if you're beginning a spiritual journey, they are trying to push you off that journey. So without more detail, I can't go in, but I hope that my answer, short as it is a good starting point for you. Thank you.
Okay. From Diana. Hello. I would like to ask how to raise my frequency and keep it high. How could I avoid getting into other people's emotional field while interacting with them? And also how to avoid picking up negative patterns and emotions from collective, the consciousness field. Thank you so much. Greetings from Estonia.
Right. Thank you. Nice Estonia. Interesting. Estonia, a very interesting country. It is the country of choice for the CIA. When the CIA agents come over from America and they wish to work in Europe, it's Estonia, they have a special deal with the government to obtain joint nationality from, but that's just by the by. Two questions. One is individual energy fields and the, I can't use the word corporate, but the wide conscious field of humanity. So there are the two there. Right. First of all, you're coming at it from the wrong angle. You're coming at it from a position of fear. It's, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. What's what we're going to do? We're not going to do that. What we're going to say is, we're not going to be fearful, but we're going to protect ourselves. So the wider, first of all, take it the other way around, the wider group consciousness of humanity, we want to be in on that, for goodness sake. We want to be in on it because we want to be expanding it and driving it and pushing it towards positive things. Yeah, there's a lot of horrible, dark stuff out there, but that's what we've got to deal with. And often if we don't want to face something, it's because we are not ready in ourselves, or we think we're not, and we've seen something in the past which we haven't got over yet. So maybe we do need to face things to challenge ourselves, never mind anything else. That's not to say I'm suggesting we put ourselves in harm's way. No. But what we have to do is to protect ourselves. If you are, here's a good one. Let's take a nurse in a hospital who day in, day out sees patients dying and injured and really bad. Why doesn't that person go away and give up the job? I suppose some do, but generally they don't. The reason is that their soul is so strong and they are so determined, and when a patient gets better, they celebrate that. You know, this person pulled through. It was really nice to see that child get well. And so they always say the greater good, which means that when they meet somebody who's very down and very negative, they have all this other positive energy to balance it against. And what I teach people is that when you come into the presence of somebody who either deliberately is attacking you psychically or is being used as a springboard, you have to recognize that. And you actually have to detach yourself from it, remove yourself away from the problem. Basically say, no, I'm not having anything to do with that. I'm not going to play your game. I'm not getting drawn into it. You know, and that's it. That's the end of it. And I don't care what you say or what you think, because I detect a vampiric, energy drain coming from you, or you're here to make my life difficult. But if we don't, don't remain positive, then what would happen is we wouldn't want to meet anyone again, because we'd always be saying, well, the next person will be evil and the person after that. And what we have to do is to say, well, we won't be fearful. We'll go out and meet each person and we'll be, you know, genuine and polite. And if they're not very nice, that's fine. We'll just move away from them, because we know we will find good people and we will connect with good people. So, all I'm suggesting to the questioner is just come at it the other way. And I know my words sound really great and grand, and yeah, putting them into practice is really hard, but that's why we're on the planet. We're on the planet to experience. And if we choose, we can learn from that experience. You know, what a fantastic opportunity. We're alive. We're living. We have a physical body animated by a soul, and we can live. We can breathe and move and touch and think. What a fantastic chance we've got. And what are we going to do with that chance? Are we going to be greedy and just make as much money as we can? Or are we going to be helpful to other people? And so go through life with that. Don't be fearful. So that's my answer to you. Thank you for your question.
Dinner fest yourself, as they say here. Anyway, from Stanley John Sears. First and foremost, a very heartfelt thank you to JP and Simon for being that light and love. Question. I had a near-death experience, 17th, 18th November, 1973, where I experienced unconditional love after being told that there was nothing to forgive. Having free will, is it true that we create our own unique heaven or hell on this earth? Godspeed you two.
Right. I'd see it slightly mixed. I don't mean that rudely or badly. I just see the question as slightly mixed. If we learn to truly love ourselves, there's nothing to forgive. That's what you're actually being taught. And once a person reaches that state of enlightenment, nothing evil in the third or fourth dimension can hurt you. That's the important point. What was the second one again, JP? Because it was...
Yeah, he experienced unconditional love after being told that there was nothing to forgive.
And no, I've got that.
Yeah. Having free will.
That's it.
Is it true that we create our own unique heaven or hell on this earth?
No, it's not. what happens is that we have free will. However, the elite have put us in a prison. So we have free will. And I always try and give this analogy. We're walking in a corridor and we have free will, whether we walk in the middle of the corridor, to the left of it or the right of it. But we can't walk out of the corridor because we're trapped in this corridor. So we have free will, but we are constrained to use our free will in a certain way. It's called laws. You know, you drive on the freeway at this speed. If you drive on at that speed, you've broken the rules. So we have free will. Yeah, we have free will to break the rules, but we will pay a price. And there comes a point when you no longer exert your free will, because the price that you pay is greater than the enjoyment from the free will. But the question is slightly more deeper than that. I detect a deeper element to this. Every man and woman has some control over their destiny. And when consciousness of one being joins with many beings, we form a group consciousness, and we have the power to change the reality of the world. That's why television was invented, because if a fearful program is put out and 20 million people watch a program and they all become fearful, human consciousness is dragged down. If you give someone an idea and it catches on and is a positive idea, and then human consciousness is pushed upwards. So each individual has the ability to change history, but not enough people believe in that. If more people believed in it, then we really could change everything. And I sometimes try to give a physical experience, and I sort of say, look, you know, when you get a bad deal from a supermarket or a store, you know, you show your displeasure in some way. Well, you know, if you stand outside a shop with a board saying this is a bad shop, you're not going to do any good, really. But if 100 people stand outside, then the shopkeeper soon comes out and does a deal with you. So it's about each individual is important because it's unique, but joined together, then actually we're unstoppable. So I detected a deeper meaning in the question, but I've tried to answer that as best I can. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good day, Simon and JP. Sending you both much love and joy and protective healing light. I work with men and women using massage techniques to awaken kundalini energy, helping them to experience a feeling of joy, peace and love within themselves and within their bodies. It's a kind of sexual tantra that has come to me over the years through spirit and is very effective. Over the years, when I'm working on someone, I often see a tiny, almost pinprick of a light. Sometimes star-coloured, but mostly a blue, kind of cobalt colour. Over the time, the light has grown to about the size of a quarter, which I translated, which is just about three-quarters of an inch. Yeah, about the size of tempeh, yeah. I always see it out the corner of my eye, and then it quickly disappears. I feel that it is a portal of some kind connecting me with another intelligence. I'm not sure if they give me information or if they're just getting information from me. What is strange is that I do other kinds of healing work, but it's just the sexual work that I see this blue light. Do you have any thoughts about this? I've never felt concerned about the light. It almost feels like a friend. I would love to know more about it if you have deeper understandings you could share with me. I greatly appreciate it. Kind regards. Ah. Yeah.
Right. That's actually, we're talking about magic and the elites. The activation of the Kundalini is has been a very, very, very guarded secret by the elites. And there are people on the planet, and it sounds to me that this is one of them, who either consciously or unconsciously can activate it. By activating the Kundalini, it does much more than what you're describing. It allows an individual to leave this reality and almost, well, I will say it, leave their body to remote view, to biologically target. What I mean by that is if you have a genetic connection maybe 25,000 years ago with an off-planet species, you would be able to telepathically look in like a camera on that particular species because you have a connection. But activating the Kundalini, most people who, most, not all, who are taken by military and laboratory secret forces, we call it the MyLabs, most of them, if they're in that program, will actually experience bruising on their legs, the top of their legs, their thighs in particular, because you lift the legs higher to activate the Kundalini. Not all MyLabs negative, actually, I need to say. Probably only about 3-4% of people who comment would agree with me, but it doesn't matter. That's a fact. There are benevolent forces using humans in MyLab operations for good purposes. The thing that's wrong is they're not getting the permission of the individuals. That's the only thing that's wrong. They should always ask permission and explain why they're doing it. But by and large, a lot of the MyLabs are negative for negative purposes. The blue light is could be two things. One, it could be negative. Remember, I talk about police cars and ambulances always have blue light. And a number of aliens, when they are trying to mind control people, will show them blue light colours. So we have to be very careful when we see the blue. But it also is a positive colour and can mean, she's quite right, can mean the opening of a portal, which is what the Kundalini is. It's a portal opening. So it's a topic that I'm not going to go on with anymore because it's... has great ramifications. I think the person might be wise then dropping me an email and we can have a chat further, but it's a great topic and it's a lovely question. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks very much. We got another record number of listeners here. We got peaked at 719. We got 707 at the moment. Interesting, you were talking about the Illuminati and it was 666 and then now we're up to, we're in the 707 now, so that was
interesting. Well, we don't want those numbers, but we'll have anything but, thank you.
So, where are we? Back to the database, right. Namaste, dear JP and Simon from CB. I love you both. Simon, I thought I'd join Connecting Consciousness by sending a donation to the group and I have not heard anything back. I was hoping there is a group in my area. Alright, it's looted. I would love to be of service to you in this world that I love. Am I missing something? Would you mind explaining how your group works and what to expect? Also, it seems like the news has become even more toxic and nasty than I can ever remember. Every friend I have is so stressed out about Trump. Can you put the Trump win in a healthier perspective for us? It feels like we're being constantly battered with fear and anger and a vision of the wreckage of the future. It's mass control it's mass mind control, yes? Thank you so much.
Right. When people very, very kindly donate to me, if you put a message on there, it doesn't actually come through. So what you're best off doing is drop me an email to the address that's been given out. And then I have a person who's very kindly now going through those emails, and that will be passed to me, and then I can organize that. I wanted to create an organization that was not hierarchical. Now, that's created problems. Because I didn't go down a hierarchical route, some people who were in the organization decided that they wanted to be hierarchical because that's what they were used to, and started to try and throw their weight around. And you know what? That's a learning experience, because they have something to learn, and I do, and everyone else who saw these people throwing their weight around also learned something. But I didn't go down the route of, you know, PR managers and accountants or advisors for this and advisors for that. That's not what it's about. It's about people in different countries who connect together, who believe in the truth of humanity and want to support each other, meet regularly, share ideas, and actually be in an environment where they can talk about what they saw and what they experienced without people laughing at them. You know, this is the point on this planet at the moment, that if you have an experience that does not fit the established norm, you can't really talk about it in public, you know, unless you're someone like me. But most people can't do it, and I understand that totally. That's why I'm driven to do what I do. I'm voicing for other people. And so to get into a group of, I don't know, 5, 6, 15, 20, 25, and suddenly find that you can share ideas and, oh, my God, that person had the same experience as I did. That's so empowering. That's what I wanted. So I created an organization, and do have coordinators in different countries. And the coordinator's role is to ensure that email messages go out between individuals in that country and that they call together, or county or region or state, and they call people together. I did have overall coordinators. That didn't work because it became too power mad, frankly. I'm not saying the individuals became power mad, but the structure looked like it was going to go like that. And, you know, it's not what I'm about. I'm not about that. If I was, I would be you know, sticking adverts in and all the rest of it. Which reminds me, someone else has just emailed me and said, am I aware still, JP, that these shows that we do are being repackaged and sold? Now, I'm absolutely disgusted at that. I do this for free in the sense that I put this information out there. I don't say, you know what, you can have a little bit of this for free and then you can pay for the rest of it. I just give all of it. And in return, I say, if you enjoyed it and it was helpful, send me a donation. But I don't charge up front for my work. And so I'm really, really unhappy that some greedy people are repackaging this, pretending that, you know, one I did 6 months ago is like just come out, and sticking adverts between them and making money. So, you know, I would say to people, if you come across something that has my name on it and someone's making money out of it, that is not me. And just hammer them with emails. And if you are part of a social network group, just make it clear. I do not ever do anything like that for money. That's not what I do. So Connecting Consciousness is an organization made up of decent, ordinary people who are spiritually awake. So drop me an email and we'll sign you up. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. And if you're listening to this or any other Simon Parks video, and you're seeing, you know, you're being bombarded, you can see those little yellow squares all along the timeline on the video. There will only ever be one advert that goes to pay my internet bill. And it's only on Studio 9 Jam. That's the only place you find the original and the best, Simon Parks. So, and indeed all of my others. It's a long story why it's called that. But, yeah, there are like various channels that call themselves Simon Parks, and you don't actually have a YouTube channel yet, or do you, Simon?
No, I don't. I mean, I've, you know, I used to be on Facebook, and I got off it simply because people kept putting on fake, and I got sick of it. You know, they were just trying to put fake Facebooks up. I mean, there must be goodness knows how many Simon Parks Facebook pages, which are not me. And it's just ridiculous. You know, it's people wanting to make money.
Yeah.
You know, how can people be spiritual? How can people be spiritual? And all they're doing is they're looking on it as another commodity. It could be a tin of baked beans. It isn't. It's, oh, it's this. This guy's popular. We'll make money on him.
That's right.
You know, that's what annoys me. It annoys me that people think that I'm supporting that organization. I'm not. You know, I'm not. And if I had the money, which I don't, I would take legal action because, you know, there's so many of them now. There are all these things all sprung up everywhere. Mm. I'd close them all down.
Yeah.
Because that's not what it's about. But anyway, you know, that's the situation.
Well, you're very busy helping people and healing and doing all this stuff. If anybody out there who's listening to this or even watching it on YouTube and it's not on the Studio 9 Jam channel, then and you're seeing loads of adverts, then report it. If people are replaying it and just spreading the word, that's fine. That's really fine. It's just though that, you know, if you're seeing loads of adverts, you should go back to Studio 9 Jam and get them without any adverts.
JP is more than that.
Yeah.
It's more
so report them if they get that. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's more than that. I understand that there are now people being asked to pay for the interview. So this has gone out free. It's on YouTube. And then, you know, if you pay money, you can have this. Now that's ridiculous because it should be out there free anyway, which it is with you.
That's right. That's very, very naughty.
That's why I get annoyed. Anyway, let's go on. Let's do something else.
Anyway, so, if anybody sees these things, just report them and just, you know, do Simon's work. Okay. So back to the questions. Julie, Simon, when I was between 8 to 10 years old, I was walking down an empty street in a small town where I lived and suddenly filled with the thought that I was the only real human here. Everyone else was a robot. This thought created a deep sense of loneliness within me because this included my family as well. I was a bit of a loner as a child. I found the children at school too abrasive, my sister and parents too angry and harsh. I'm also dyslexic and been rather ashamed of that until I learned from you about how you were saved from the illusions brought forth by a leap by your dyslexia, if I hear your story correctly. I sometimes see the strangest things in words. The other day I saw the word UNICEF, and what it looked like for a good 15 seconds was Lucifer. I still see Lucifer when I look at that word. I don't know anything about UNICEF, but am I seeing something of truth here? Thank you so much for your service to me and the world. I admire and respect you both. Thank you, Julie.
Good question. When the question was first being read out, what I assumed that Julie was saying was that she was in a town where they were all, had no soul, or they were reptilian or something like that. But that's not what she's meaning. What she's meaning is that she was enlightened and the people around her were not at that enlightenment. So as a young child, she arrived incarnated on the planet and was activated quite young. So she felt very different. And she was unusual. That's quite common. I'm glad it's common because it means we've got lots of people like that on the planet. When you come from, and it sounds to me that she's fifth or sixth dimension, when you come from that, then you can see through the fourth dimensional overlay. Got to be very careful what I say about UNICEF because they've got a lot more money than I have. Mind you, I always say to people, you know, take me to court, because then in court I can tell everyone what you do, and I'm going to ask the judge to keep the newspapers in there. And you know, that's quite an interesting point, because lots of organizations have got a lot to hide, don't want that to be discussed in court. When somebody looks at a word, they can see the energy around the word. When, as children, we're in school, we're asked to spell a word. How do you spell cat? C-A-T. But, you know, how many people who are not awake connect the word spell with abracadabra, waving a magic wand? Why do we use the same word? It's because when we pronounce a word, we are saying energy connections. We are saying energy creations, which when linked together like a formula, create happenings in the fourth and thus into the third dimension. So when we look at a word, and if we've got that background, we understand the fourth dimensional trickery that's been added to it. So all you are, my darling, is a fourth or fifth or a sixth dimensional person or higher who is clearly seeing through the veil. And if you've always been spiritual, but something's happened recently which has like propelled you forward, then you're on a, like a fast track. So again, you know, if you want to drop me an email, because all you're going to need is a bit of guidance and a bit of support, because you know you are on the verge, I think, of really connecting up your DNA. So that's very good. I'm not going to comment on the particular organization that you have mentioned. But I did talk earlier about if I was a big organization and I wanted to, you know, have a connection, I don't know, with children or with the transport, you know, it'd be very useful. So, yeah. Drop me an email if you want to.
Slightly enigmatic answer there, but anyway, we'll move swiftly on. Simon, now. I'm now we've got about 20 minutes left. I'm going to scoot through some of the questions. And I'm just going to, right, okay. Try and find different, different subjects. Okay, so here's an interesting. This is about a person called David Blaine. Have you heard of the magician David Blaine?
I have. Yes.
Okay. So the question is David Blaine a black magician with a djinn? And do you know of an off-world alliance known as the Sphere Being Alliance?
Right. I can't answer that question simply because I've never met him, and I've never seen a clear enough photograph of him. All I've ever seen him is in newspapers, and it's been taken from a distance. What I can tell you is he's genuinely telepathic. So if he's in a box strung up on a chain above the ground or somewhere like that, he would be able to hold a conversation, but it would be telepathic with anyone who was telepathic on the ground. So I can definitely say that the man is genuine like that and has that. Is he a black magician? I don't know enough about him. I just genuinely can't answer that. What was the other question?
The other question was the sphere. Excuse me.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's not. Yes, I'm aware of it, but they're not because the aliens are spheres. They're not like marbles or ping pong balls. It's because they have a strange idea about consciousness and everything being in a circle. We talked about earlier about in ancient Rome how the Circus Maximus was a circular thing because the energy went round and round. And it's also about if you think of a board where you draw one circle and then you draw another circle and it bisects that, so it cuts into that circle and you connect up like a chain of molecules. It's like a hive mind. So yes, I'm familiar with them. They don't play a huge part on the earth. They're not key players, but yes, I'm aware of them.
Okay, thank you. Right, okay. Right. Okay, so, I don't know, this is a question about Godlike Productions, but anyway, There's a ruling family insider revelations on Godlike Productions, 2017. Yeah. Sorry, I'm being a bit old and cynical about, we get these every couple of years. He reveals that incarnation into those handful of bloodlines is picked by divine law. And every so often they can give people opportunities to ask questions. When asks what the points in all the deception, the reply was, if the people don't know the true intentions of the ruler, then they can't falsely pretend to follow along. It weeds out the good from the bad. What is your take on it, Simon? With gratitude, Elena.
I wouldn't have any dealing with anyone who was fake like that. I think what you do is that you promote people based on their ability to do good. This is the problem with third and fourth dimension. Third dimension is about, well, my great 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 grandfather was king, so I'm going to be king. And fourth dimension, it's, I'm elite and I'm part of this bloodline and it's the energy and I've always ruled and I always will rule. They're very similar. Nothing good would create that. The only thing that creates that is that wishes to maintain its control and wishes to maintain the status quo, which is what we see on this planet all the time. In Great Britain, when the first machines were made, there was revolutions, and it looked like that the people would revolt generally. So what does the elite do? It gives ground just enough to prevent the people revolting. Oh, we've won a concession, and that keeps them okay for another couple of hundred years, and then there's another revolt, and then the elite give a little bit more ground. But it's all a game. So I wouldn't really be interested in anything like that. I wouldn't take too much interest in it because it's all about deception. And at the moment on the planet, we've got quite enough of that. So it's a good question, because there's a lot of this about, there's a lot of what I consider to be unhelpful options being offered to spiritual people, or ways forward, or this is the way it should be. And you always have to ask yourself, well, who in their right mind, if they're loving and truthful, why would they create something like that? And then you soon realize that actually what's behind it is not quite what you think. It's a bit like going to church. What actually is behind the church? Is it this benevolent God, or is it actually something that's quite quite unpredictable, really?
So, following on from that, Khalil is asking, this is a question about angels, guides, masters, etc. While leading a meditation circle recently, we were grounded and connected in with the galaxy. Energy was blissful and intense. Suddenly I noticed a presence enter. It was like a slightly golden cloud of light. Suddenly, as if a butterfly drinking nectar from a flower, the intensity diminished and leveled out, and the entity retreated. Felt like we just fed something uninvited. Are there beings that feed off the energy of meditation, like other entities feed off Lush? Are angels, guides, masters, etc., merely interlopers into our connection with Source to divert our energy and distract our attention? Can you speak to this issue, please? What a great question.
Yeah, I will. When a group of gifted people sit together, you are like a lighthouse, and somebody will see you. And you can just as easily be seen by people with good intent as people with evil intent. And so you need to have a plan with all those around you. You need to know each other well enough that when you detect something that is harmful, then you work together to exclude it. So you need to be able to have a plan, so you have a word or a code word that says something as uninvited has entered the room. And then as a group, you push it away. I don't think meditation energy can be used for fuel. Good entities don't do it anyway. It's possible, I don't know enough, but it's possible that when something enters, it was just absolutely curious and wanted to see what you were. And its arrival sucked in the energy. In other words, not it as a being, but the portal that it created to come to you started to suck in the energy. Now, that's highly probable. The only difficulty I have is you use the word a cloud, and one thinks of these Indian gods that are portrayed sitting on a cloud. In the early days, Jesus or God was, you know, shown as sitting on a cloud. So that's negative. But if you're just using a metaphor or just using a word, then that's not what, that's not the image I'm conjuring up here. My advice to you is work out a plan so that if one of your group detects something in the room, you deal with it as a group, because you do not deal with it individually, because then you get picked off. Work as a group, always work as a team, and, you know, don't attack something unless you are attacked first, because you can't just hit out at something. Something may have just been curious to come to visit you. A good question. Thank you.
Okay, so... okay, here's from Sam. Dear Simon, I've read that Zeta Reticulans have referred to humans as containers. I agree with this point in as much as we are consciousness experiencing human form. However, they do not see themselves in the same way. Or is it the case that they are not of third dimensionality and consequently their bodies are formed directly from consciousness and thus fully integrated, as it were? But I hope that you and your team have all the energy and protection needed in the challenges ahead. All the best, Sam. So, yeah.
Sam, thank you very much indeed. That's very kind of you. No, the simple answer is that they are empty. That's why they refer to humans as, and you're quite right, as receptacles or containers, because the body contains the soul. Their bodies were created not to contain a soul. So they don't see themselves as containers, because they are, they're not, they're meant to be empty. You know, if you have a jug or a vase and it's designed to be filled with water to put the flowers in, well, that is a container, because we put something in it. But if I created a vase that was never meant to have anything in it, then that's not a container. So they are just being absolutely logical, because that's what these creatures are. They're just absolutely logical, and they're being quite right. You're a container. I am not. They work, and so much misunderstanding, but I don't get cross with people for not understanding, because they haven't seen it all. The hive mind is what keeps them alive. If you don't have a soul in your body, you are going to die. So you have to have an artificial means of activating your body. And that's the hive mind. It isn't just what people understand it to be, that Fred down the road sees something, so George knows about it 2 seconds later, and we're all connected and you can send a message to everybody. Yes, that's what it is. But it's much more than that. It's about artificially animating a creature that doesn't contain a soul. That's not to say all Zeta Reticulans are without a soul. There are Zeta Reticulans that in old money are about 6 inches taller than the rest or more, and they do contain a soul. Okay, but for every, I don't know, every 25 Zeta Reticulans, only one would have a soul. So that's the answer to the question. It's a really good question. Thank you.
Interesting. So there's been a couple of questions. I will aggregate things. A couple of questions about the J-dubs, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
Can you describe a little bit about why or what or how? Can you? Do you have any data on them?
What, on the JWs?
Yeah. Are they a positive intent, or what's the deal?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people who are individual JWs are of positive intent. And we are on this planet, as we said earlier, with some free will to join a religious organization or not, as the case may be. I tend to look at the teachings behind something, there's your answer. And the teachings behind a Jehovah's Witness is that when the end of the world comes, and they do talk about the end of the world, 144,000 people, you know, are going to be enlightened and taken up and saved. And I've always said that I have a problem with the number 144 because that's so reptilian. And I make a joke that there must be 144 chairs in the flying saucer, because I guess the flying saucer lands and 144,000 people all have a seat in the flying saucer. And, you know, it begs the question, well, what is the membership? The membership must be many millions. So who's going to decide which of the 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses are going to get a seat in the flying saucer? Generally, my own teachings, if I can use that word, are that we shouldn't give our decision-making, our beliefs, our strength, our sovereignty to something like that. We should always be ourselves. Why would I need something that I can't see to tell me when I'm doing right or wrong? Surely my higher self should tell me when I'm doing something right or wrong. That's what I'm learning. You see, if you think of the Catholic faith, every time you do something wrong, it's all right, because you can go to see the priest, the father, and you can tell the priest that you've been wrong, and they'll tell you what you have to do to atone for your sins. How are you learning? You're not learning. What you learn is, I can do things as wrong as many times as I like, as long as I go to church and the nice man in the funny costume says to me, well, you've been really naughty, you'll have to do this, but God has forgiven you. You know? So if you push that away and you ask yourself, you've got nothing to run away from. You've only got yourself. It's, what did I do? Was it wrong? Okay. What can I learn from that? How did I feel? How did the other person feel? How has it helped anybody? That sort of critical independent thinking is taken away when you have a church. Because suddenly that's a man, usually can be a woman these days, but usually a man who tells you when you're forgiven. You know, why would you give your power away to somebody to tell you when you're forgiven? Nonsense. It's totally nonsense. It worked a few hundred years ago when the human race was much more primitive, but we're a highly evolved, supposedly highly evolved species on this planet, and are still, desperately saddened by people traipsing into church, whichever church it might be, to get on their knees to pray for forgiveness and to be taken into the afterlife. Stop all that nonsense and enjoy your life now. Do as much good as you can, be as loving as you can, be as kind as you can, and set an example and live every day like that. Don't worry about, oh, I've got to go to church and I've got to confess my sins and, you know, will the Almighty love me? And when I die, will I go to hell and be roasted over? Don't worry about that. That's not why you came to this planet, to be controlled by, you know, there's enough things on the planet trying to control us. So, no, I respect people's need to be in a religion in the sense that, okay, you weren't ready for it this time. You weren't ready to break free. You've gone in the old trap. You've gone and joined this religious order. Well, maybe when you come back again, if you come back again, when the choice comes around, maybe you'll say, no, I don't need it. Everybody is on a learning journey. And some people have been on this journey a heck of a long time and don't seem to have moved forward very much. Others are doing really well. And, you know, those that are doing really well are the people that are saying, enough is enough. I can see what's going on here. And I don't want any more of it. So that's the people that we're talking to. We're talking to the people that can see the truth. And that's where the future of humanity lies. Not with the people who are still doing the orders of this elite, but the people who are determined to make a better life, if not for themselves, but for their children. And I don't mean earning more money than they earned, but having a better world to live in. Anyway, I think we're out of time, JP, aren't we, sadly?
We are indeed. It does wax by these days. I'll see you like tomorrow, which is like in 2 weeks' time, but it feels like tomorrow. It'll feel like yesterday tomorrow in 2 weeks. I've got a version of the end of the world as we know it, just at the just for the J-dubs among us.
Okay, God bless to you all.
God bless, Simon. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night, everyone.